The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Everybody has the potential for greatness inside of them. It might be a new career you seek, a better relationship and home life, or something entirely different. No matter what that goal is, if you set your mind to it, you can make it happen. Welcome to Your Authentic Life with your host, Susan Cranston. In today's show, you'll take away some great tips, resources, and stories designed to spark the idea to achieve your dreams. Now, here is Susan Cranston.
Hi, and welcome to Your Authentic Life. I'm your host, Susan Cranston, and I'm so glad that you tuned in and made space to listen to today's show. We're going to be talking about how to fail intelligently. Now, that may sound like a really strange thing. When we think about it, it happens to all of us. We make mistakes, even when we try so hard not to. And even when we feel we've made the best decision based on information we have at the time. And sometimes failure happens with little to no negative consequences, and other times it comes with a much more painful or a higher price tag. And in many situations, we stop ourselves short from doing what we want, what we truly, truly feel is a desire for us, because of the fear of failure. And we thwart our ability to proceed based on the crippling regrets of past failures. So I'm excited to talk about this today because I want to look at how we can consider failure in a very different way and look at ways to remove obstacles. And that might change the way we think about failure in general, whether it's from a personal perspective or from a business setting. And there is a new concept, it's a pretty recent concept, known as intelligent failure. And this idea really helps to shed some light on the notion that we can learn, maximize, and even accelerate through the act of trial and error. And I want you to really pay attention to the fact that I said error here, this term error. And if we're able to emphasize the idea that innovation can be made possible by accepting a certain risk of failure that is inherent in new ideas and approaches, we can grow our risk tolerance. So really stretch our ability to learn and also to grow our comfort with failure in healthy ways. So to look at failure differently. And the reality is that no matter how hard we try to avoid failure, it's going to happen. It's just a part of life. And intelligent failure is this concept. It's an intentional practice of reacting to situations more productively and less defensively. And the great news about this is that it's a skill anyone can learn. This isn't something you're born with. It's just a natural talent. This is something anyone can learn. And it's also a very hopeful message that anyone fearful of decision-making can truly embrace. So how does one learn the skill of intelligent failure? Well, very interesting. I want to share a couple quick little stories with you. I was speaking at a conference just past August, and Commander Chris Hatfield, who's an astronaut, was a keynote speaker at this conference, and I blogged about it on my Souls for Miles site, soulsformiles.com, and he spoke about failure and how planning for failure was so important. In fact, he had to learn Russian fluently and learn how to do emergency appendectomies in space. So that's really planning for failure, assuming that someone is going to have something happen to them. And when you plan for failure, when you embrace this and think about it differently, it really does help to build greater confidence and successful outcomes. Often people are afraid to talk about their failures, and maybe it's because of a fear of ridicule or simply dredging up the painful memories of the past. But when we talk about failure, we help others gain a different perspective and learn to avoid making the same mistakes. And one other quick story before I introduce you to my fabulous guest today on Your Authentic Life is something that I not necessarily keenly share with people because it's awfully embarrassing for me, but about 3 years ago, at this time of year, close to Christmas, I set my right hand on fire. And it was a very silly accident that I had. I was trying to refuel one of those really inexpensive, like, you know, $1 or $2 butane lighters that you use to either light a grill or barbecue or to light candles with. And I didn't realize that the fumes from the lighter fluid had gone all over my hand. And when I went to test it, in my stupidity, I created a small explosion and set my right hand on fire and also singed all of the hair at the ends around my face. So I was really fortunate. I was over a sink and I was able to put out the fire immediately, but that didn't stop me from having quite extreme second degree burns on my hands. So I tell the story to everyone, even though I'm very environmentally conscious, don't try to refill these inexpensive or cheap butane lighters. Go out to the dollar store or wherever and get yourself a new one. And I do this because these mistakes happen. And when we keep it inside, we stop people from learning. And I certainly don't want anyone else, so any listeners, I don't want this to happen to you. Learn from that mistake. So like squeezing the juice from lemon to make lemonade, when we fail intelligently, we look at the experience for the opportunity to extract as many lessons as we can as part of our journey to succeed. Failure can teach us a lot. And so I'm excited today. I have executive coach Heather Clark on today's episode of Your Authentic Life. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Heather before I start asking her some questions, and she can tell you all about intelligent failure. Heather helps leaders in her role as an executive coach to increase their personal and professional impact in ways that produce sustainable and rewarding results. And she really is a catalyst for leaders and teams to create inspiring and highly successful companies by leveraging people's natural talents and their strengths. And she does this by getting curious. And hopefully you'll be curious today, Heather, and ask me some questions too.
<You're> very curious.
And challenging current reality and bringing tough issues to the surface in order to explore new possibilities. And Heather really is a seasoned coach. She's been doing this since 1999. And she's an entrepreneur who believes wholeheartedly that, you know, nurturing the human spirit makes good business and social sense. So Heather, I'm delighted that you're here today with me. So can you tell me a bit more about what is an executive coach and what do you do? I've described it a bit from your bio, but maybe you can put it
great
in layman's
question.
Terms.
Well, you know, I thought about how to answer this question because it's always a bit challenging. And really what I do is I help leaders to get a clear picture of where they are now and where they want to be. And what we explore is the gap in between. So there's things that block us from getting to where we want to be. And that's the place that we explore. Some of my clients have called me a sounding board. You know, I've said one of the benefits of working with an executive coach is that it's a non-judgmental sounding board, knowing that I'm totally invested in their success. The other thing that I do sometimes is hold up the mirror. Sometimes as individuals, we can't see what's going on for us, and it takes somebody else to say, hey, I noticed this. Is this something that you've noticed?
Your hair's sticking up.
Yeah.
You got some broccoli between your teeth. Did you know that?
Did you know you have a pattern of behaving this way? Those are all the things that as an executive coach, I work with my clients on.
Well, that's very helpful to know. And probably when you're holding up the mirror for people, it gives them a chance to explore failure intelligently.
Exactly. Because as you said before, most of us do not like to fail. We are programmed from the time we're small children to be successful. Success equals good. Failure equals bad.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, basically burying your head in the ground or that it didn't happen or maybe you didn't do it.
Exactly.
It was somebody else. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
It was Fred, you know, three rows over.
Well, you know, it's funny when it comes to intelligent failure, not all failures are created equal. You know, they can range from blameworthy failure. So failure when something happens that somebody should have known better, and to praiseworthy failure where somebody brings up something that nobody else is aware of that can actually help an organization to move forward.
So that those are two types of failure that we look at. So can you describe, I've talked a little bit about what intelligent failure is in my opening comment. How is it, how do you define it, and what does it mean to the type of work that you do? How can it help someone that might be looking for an executive coach?
Right. So, you know, intelligent failure for me is about learning, growing, and developing. It's setting up the intention for moving and growing. It's setting an environment for people to be able to come together and to talk about what's not working, what could we do better. It's almost, you can construct an environment that celebrates intelligent failure. And I'll give you an example. Think about a company that's trying to bring out the next best phone. We all are, you know, tied to our smartphones. And the faster a company can get a new product to market, the better, obviously. So if you have the designers and the developers, they're the ones that know what's going well and what's not going well. If you have an environment that encourages them to bring forward anything that they anticipate that could go wrong, you are going to have a better product when it gets to market. If you have an environment where people are afraid to speak up, afraid to challenge, maybe where a leader's going with something, your company, it could be disastrous for your company if that phone gets to market and has a number of bugs in it that people internally knew were going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And they were afraid to speak up.
It's
almost this idea of the emperor's new clothes.
Yes.
You don't want to say anything because you might jeopardize your career. And so it touches on this idea of creating a culture that is safe to look at the learning from intelligent failure. Again, making the lemonade, squeezing the lemons that way and looking at even before something might happen. Similar to the way I described what astronauts do, or when you think about the Kennedy Space Centers and how they prepare for flights.
Absolutely.
That way. And the reverse of that, which is also fascinating, and I've done some work through motivational speakers that have been jet fighter pilots.
Right.
And how, and I'm fascinated by this idea because it's this debrief that happens after every flight where they go through this very rigorous exercise of looking at the flight, what went well, what might they do differently? And it's time consuming to do this, but it's absolutely critical, just as it's critical to do all of the procedures that need to happen before, you know, they get in the plane and fly in their jet. The same has to happen post. Yet in organizations, we don't necessarily create that culture or think about the importance of that, these post-implementation reviews.
Well, and think about if you had a culture that after a project is done, after you've launched something, if your team did that, if they sat down and they took a really constructive, critical approach to, hey, what did we do well and what would we do again? And what didn't go so well and how could we improve upon that the next time we get into this same situation? That's exactly what exploring intelligent failure is all about.
Well, that's great. Wow. I wish I would have been a test fighter pilot. I had this nailed down. So, you know, my vision's not good enough. And clearly setting my hand on fire didn't help.
Clearly. But you learned from it. And that's the main thing. That's the difference between intelligent failure and foolish failure.
And I'm talking about it. I guess so. So when we think about intelligent failure, part of this relates not only to, we think about a business setting, but if we took it into a relationship perspective, I'm just going to go here for a second. I know you're an executive coach, but imagine if you were in a situation, you were in a relationship with your spouse, and this is a very stressful time of year. We're heading into the holidays. It's Christmas time. People have more expectations. There's more on their plate. They're busier. They're more stressed out. Anxiety is amplified. If something doesn't go right, if your spouse said to you, Heather, I really messed up. I'm sorry. Would it be the end of the conversation and you could move on, as opposed to perhaps someone not going there and blaming it on something else or beating around the bush? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because with executive coaching, it really is all about relationships. So whether it's personal or whether it's at work, it's about relationships that we have with other people. And, you know, when it comes to this time of year, you can set yourselves up for success by having that exact conversation. This didn't go well. I screwed up. I know we agreed to this, but I did this. And just kind of, instead of taking it personally and thinking that the person did it to tick you off or, you know, was disregarding your feelings, It's about exploring what happened. What happened to you in the moment? Okay, if we run up against that, you know, at the next family event, what could we do differently? Mm-hmm. How could we set ourselves up for success? What can we learn?
So both parties coming at it.
Absolutely.
Without this judgment. Mm-hmm. It's more around the observation.
Yeah.
And looking at it, again, more like a test pilot and saying, okay, this is what happened in these maneuvers and what we did and how might we have done this better, accelerated more quickly, or maybe, you know, took this a curve or corner a little differently without saying, you know, you're an idiot.
Exactly.
I can't believe you did that again. You always do this.
Yeah. And it goes back to how we do conflict well. Mm-hmm. You know, conflict informs us. Conflict can be, is phenomenal. Conflict is what moves us forward. And unfortunately, as human beings, our egos get in the way.
Ah, yes.
Right? So when we're in personal relationships, depending on how long we've been with somebody, we form patterns of operating. So we make assumptions and we make judgments about why people do the things that they do. And we don't give them a break on failures or mistakes that they make. And you know, intelligent failure is about changing that perspective and looking at, okay, let me put my ego aside for a minute and let's talk about what our goals are or what our goals were and why we didn't get there.
Excellent.
And how we could do it differently next time.
So that makes a huge difference when we look, we are able to identify the ego piece that's affecting us either to talk about it or to realistically address what happened and taking accountability for our role in the experience.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's important. So one of the questions I have for you, and I don't know how much we've touched on this, maybe to a certain extent, but I want to make sure we go there for our listeners. There are different approaches to failure and learning about them. What are they from your perspective?
I actually read a great article recently in Stanford Business, and it talked about type 1 and type 2 mindset. And I really do believe failure is about our mindset. We learn about failure from the time we're small children. And so they talk about the type 1 mindset being a fear of making mistakes. So fear equals shame and pain. We've grown up to learn that. It's something to be avoided. Type 2 mindset is about being fearful of losing opportunities. So this person is the opposite. These people feel shame if they don't take risks and they don't kind of step out. And what if somebody else steps out and steals their idea and runs with it and they were too afraid to do it? So it really, you know, we start out as children with the type 2 mindset. We're fearless. When we learn to walk, when we learn to ride a bike, when we learn to skate, our parents are cheering us on, fall down, get back up, fall down, get back up. Suddenly at some point in our lives, all of a sudden there's judgment. How come your marks aren't as good as Susie's? How come you can't hit a ball as good as Johnny? I've paid for those piano lessons. You are not quitting. I've invested too much time and money.
Post-traumatic stress right now.
And suddenly we learn that failure is something to be avoided. And we need to work through things because we cannot fail. It's not okay. And we bring that baggage with us to our adult lives.
Wow. That is really an interesting concept. And I love that idea. And I brought this up. This is a bit of a thread on your authentic life, is this idea of creating this pixie dust or bringing it back. And you touched on this so beautifully because we have this as children.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we didn't necessarily have encouragement from our parents, we had our own belief in our ability. We believed that we could do anything because at that, when you're little, no one's at that point telling you you can't.
Exactly.
You could be an astronaut, a jet fighter pilot. You could be a ballerina, whatever it is that you wanted to be. And then at some point, we tend to lose that.
Yeah. At some point, there's a switch that goes on and all of a sudden, we're getting all these judgments. Generally, our parents' egos and self-esteem comes into play and their fears come into play because they don't want us to get hurt. They don't want us to suffer. They don't want us to be in pain. They don't want us to dream too big in case we fail.
Or to be able to be in a situation where they have gone through hurt. They're still dealing with the pain of whatever experience they had, and they want to prevent us from having that same experience, right? Don't do that. I know what that's all about. It's still pretty fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
You're going to have the same experience. that I am. There's so much on this topic that's absolutely fascinating from a personal perspective and for people in their professional lives as well. And depending on their inability to release these thoughts and to free them some from it and think differently about failure can make a huge difference. We're just going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, Heather, I want to explore this in greater detail in terms of how we can really dive into failure, looking at failure differently. So stay with us. We'll have more from Your Authentic Life in a moment.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Work with Susan Cranston as your personal coach. Live your purpose and breathe life into the dreams you've kept hidden away for too long. Bring deeper fulfillment and contentment to each day. Learn ways to nourish your mind, body, and spirit connection. It's time to begin your journey today. Reach out to Susan today at 226-989-7533 or visit SusanCranston.com. Susan is a master life coach and an Ayurvedic lifestyle practitioner and meditation teacher who is certified with the Chopra Center University in California. Visit SusanCranston.com or call Susan at 226-989-7533.
Do you or somebody you love have a struggle with abuse? You don't need to be a slave to your abuse anymore. Listen for Beyond Abuse, Beyond Therapy, Beyond Anything with Dr. Lisa Cooney. Dr. Lisa overcame struggles in her own life. 2 decades of sexual, emotional, and physical abuse nearly took their toll. In her 20s, she turned her life around and set upon a path to help others. She can help you find the key to take control of your life, too. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Susan Cranston is ready to be your communications consultant. Susan is a writer, speaker, and former marketing executive with over 2 decades of experience. Susan also teaches various workshops, including Perfect Health and Meditation, which helps to manage stress, reduce anxiety, release emotional toxicity, increase strength, and nourish the mind, body, and spirit. If you have a writing or social media plan or need a motivational speaker for your upcoming event, visit SusanCranston.com or call Susan at 226-989-7533.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Your Authentic Life with Susan Cranston. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to authenticaconsulting@gmail.com. That's authenticaconsulting@gmail.com. Now, back to this week's edition of Your Authentic Life.
Hi, it's Susan Cranston, and you're listening to Your Authentic Life. I'm so glad you've tuned in and made space for this conversation with my special guest, executive coach, Heather Clark. Heather and I have been talking about how when we're little kids, we think the sky's the limit, and that there's probably nothing we can't do until we get told, no, you can't do that, or maybe you could have done this better. Maybe you should think about a plan B for your life. And the conditioning starts to wear on us and become heavier and heavier in our life. And it creates this fear of failure, fear to discuss it, fear to think about it, and fear to let it happen. And in Heather's work as an executive coach, she works with leaders and aspiring leaders to talk to them about how to think about failure differently and to look at it from an intelligent perspective. So, Heather, how do you actually sort of decouple this fear and think about failure in a different way? Because as I said in my opening comments, this is a skill anyone can learn.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And so one of the things that I work with leaders on, there's kind of two main areas. Is one is them personally as a leader. How did they think about failure? What's their mindset around failure? Do they believe it's good or bad? Because whatever they believe is what's going to be their behavior, right? So if I was to go poll their team, how would they tell me their leader deals with mistakes? So the first thing is really getting in touch with what you believe about failure and how you react to it, because how you react to it affects your whole organization. The second thing is, how safe is the environment you have created for people in your organization to be vulnerable and transparent and talk about what isn't working? So if you want people to be able to openly discuss intelligent failure, you have to create a safe zone for them to be able to do that. And you have to be able to do it in a way that acknowledges what happened and is exploring what went on and what could be done differently.
So that is key. It's the idea of really uncoupling, or looking at with this non-judgmental observation, how a person can reflect on their views relating to failure, whatever their experiences have been, and how that may project to others. Mm-hmm. What kind of energy they give out when they talk about failure, what it looks like in different projects, who gets rewarded for sharing what that experience is like, and then the culture that is created. And culture isn't something that you can necessarily take a picture of.
Yes.
I can't take a photo, a selfie of culture. But when you walk into an organization, you can feel it.
You can feel it.
You can almost taste it.
Yeah.
And I would often say when I was doing leadership training that when someone would start in a new job, their first week could be really exhausting. And it wasn't because they were already on the job and diving into it. It's that they were experiencing the culture. Mm-hmm. It's like going to a different country and trying to learn the language and the ins and outs of that. So when you're creating a culture that is really promoting this awareness, this openness, this transparency relating to failure, it makes a huge difference. Can you expand on that?
It is so important. I actually have a client I'm working with right now that has brought on a new leader, and the whole focus of his 90 days of probation is to bring him into the culture of the organization and to talk about what is expected as a leader, and how do we deal with failure, and how do we encourage people, and how do we create that safe environment? Because you can have one or two leaders that do it well, and their teams will excel, and you will see that they are head and shoulders above the rest of the teams in the organization. So if you want an actual organizational culture of embracing intelligent failure and working with that and using it to, make your business more successful, you need to have everybody on board and working with it. And I actually talk to leaders about creating the sandbox that you play in. So for intelligent failure, it's not about, oh, it's okay to make mistakes, there's no problem, you'll be forgiven. It's about helping people understand what's expected of them. What kind of failure is acceptable? What are the parameters around that? How are we going to react? I call it rules of engagement. Mm-hmm. We create the rules of engagement for the staff to work with intelligent failure and to bring mistakes to the forefront, and for the leaders on how they're going to deal with things when they come up.
I love that, because with those rules of engagement, you're actually able to have a bit of a playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this was
exactly
a football game, I'm a football fan, I'll put that out there. So what would your playbook be, right? You've
exactly
got it. So the team knows, right? Okay,
yeah.
Oh, hold it. That wasn't the right, that wasn't a good call in terms of how we did this. Let's go back to the playbook. And if we need to adjust it, we can. But we all agreed that this was it.
So a great example. If you do the play exactly as we talked about it and we planned it, and something went awry, then it's not about you making a mistake in the play. It's about what happened. What didn't we anticipate? It's not about the quarterback making a bad throw. So, and that's exactly what needs to happen in organizations in order to create that safe culture for people to be able to bring their ideas and their assumptions and their challenges to the forefront.
So if you're not in an organization, because you work with individual contributors too, mm-hmm. so people who may be aspiring leaders.
Yes.
So in that situation, if they're in an environment, if they're a culture where there is no playbook, in fact, there is no failure allowed, that might be a completely different conversation.
That's a completely different conversation, because in that conversation for that particular individual, they have to make some decisions about how they can test out the culture around failure, and they have to be willing to take some risks and move into that, and perhaps they can be a leader in that part of the organization just by their willingness to step up and take a risk and try something out and check out whether this would be a concept that would be valuable in the organization and accepted.
And that's where a coach can make a huge difference, right? To help with the vernacular, the language around it, and exploring in a way that's safe and healthy before you actually dive in. So you've had some practice.
Absolutely.
Before you go into the game.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I have one client I worked with, and one of the things we practiced was he had something he had to decide upon, and it was about exposing what he considered a failure. And we actually practiced how he was going to present it, like the words he was going to use and the intention that he had around it, which gave him the confidence to go in and present his case.
To think through the different scenarios.
Absolutely.
And often what happens when people actually take that leap, and it's a huge one, there's, you know, it's something where you're really stepping over the fear you have, and the fear that's probably grown into this giant monster at some point, but it might have been really little when you first started out, and then it got really big. When you're able to finally jump over that and you do it, it often opens up other people to say, I'm so glad you said that.
Exactly.
Is that
well,
your experience?
No different than your experience about lighting yourself on fire. You know, I bet you're not the only one in the world that has lit yourself on fire, right? And you just being open about exploring that and sharing that, I'm sure other people went, oh. But, you know, it's our fear is so deep rooted. It goes back to our childhood. I like to call it rocks in our backpack. You know, we gather these rocks in our backpack as we go along, and a lot of them are fear based. And, you know, and what happens when we're approaching something is we think about what's the worst thing that could happen, and we go there. And we assume that's the thing that's going to happen. And that's often one of the ways I help my clients to work through it, is I ask the question, what's the worst thing that could happen if you talked about your failure? And so, and we work backwards from that. Okay, well, if that happened, what would happen? And what would be the worst thing about that? And what would be the worst thing about that? And eventually we explore how the fear affects our thinking. And we see, you know, if we could survive that worst case scenario, then we're able to step outside of our fear and put a plan together to deal with it.
And I love that, because it's this idea of, let's just go there. Mm-hmm. Let's visit that horrible place.
Let's dive in,
right? Are you going to be tarred and feathered? Will you be ridiculed in the village square? I mean, whatever the thought is, or are you going to lose your job? Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, take it to that place and then work through how you would handle that situation.
Absolutely.
And be able to explore it in a safe environment. And for someone who doesn't have a coach, they can still do that. They can journal it. Mm-hmm. They can take it out of their mind and the will that cycles through all of these fears and capture it on paper.
Absolutely.
Or their computer, whatever it is, whatever they want to go, old school, new school.
Or talk to a trusted friend.
Yeah. Exactly. And let's, you know, walk through these different scenarios in order to be able to address it. But that, in your opinion, and I just want to check that out with you, is like the critical first step.
It's critical, because in our minds, we go to that place. And if we don't explore that place, it will always hold us back.
So we got to deal with the boogie monster in the closet.
Absolutely.
Open the door.
Check it out.
And then what? And then what do we do? So we've talked to a friend, or we've written about it, we've worked with our coach, and then we have the conversation. We go there and we say, hey, you know what? I messed up.
Yeah. And we're open to the feedback that we get, mm-hmm. and to kind of stand in that place of, I feel good about what I've done. I feel good about my intention. And yeah, I messed up. And how am I going to not do it again? Or how am I going to learn from it? So to come at it from that place. And, you know, with my clients, we actually create some questions that they can maybe ask their manager, or statements they can make to their manager. If their manager is not that adept at dealing with it, it's okay to manage up.
Here, I prepared this for you. You're to ask me.
You know what? We're all good at some things and not good at other things. So, you know, for the people that I work with, I want them to go in feeling confident and to be able to manage the situation that they're involved with. And that may mean kind of stepping into the shoes of the manager and offering up what they hope the manager mm-hmm. will ask them, mm-hmm. even if they don't.
It's doing your homework.
You've
opened the door, you've explored it, you've done that reflective exercise, you've prepared for the meeting, you're ready to look at it. There's a huge other piece of this that I think really gets at the, you know, making the lemonade out of the lemon here and, you know, squeezing all the juice out, and maybe you make tequila, who knows? Have
margaritas.
A nice margarita, right? Something good out of it. And it's this idea, and I know I work with clients, and I hear this a lot around, I'm afraid to make a decision.
Mm.
So going forward, because of these past scenarios, yeah. I'm held back. I don't even trust myself anymore to go forward. Where when you're little, you're like, well, what do you want to do? You know, are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Yeah, whatever. Just go ahead and make that decision again.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get that back? How do we use intelligent failure to make better decisions?
So I read this quote recently by Henry Link. While one person hesitates because he feels inferior, the other is busy making mistakes and becoming superior. And I love that quote. And I thought it fit beautifully into our topic today, because being afraid of making mistakes can paralyze us as individuals and as organizations. It causes us to take the safe route and not to do anything too risky. And for organizations that have to, and individuals that have to be adept at changing quickly to the marketplace, to whatever's going on in your life, that paralysis can be challenging and can actually put businesses under. And, you know, I have a great story. I worked with this young entrepreneur, and he had two sporting goods stores in towns 10 miles apart. He was trying to make a decision about closing one of the stores and creating one larger store. What made the most sense on paper from a business perspective was to close his flagship store that he started in his hometown when he was like 20 years old, and to keep the open store or the store open in the rival town. I live in hockey country, so towns live and die by the hockey rivalries. So the other town was in the rival, or the other store was in the rival town. As we explored his dilemma, we drilled down about what was holding him back from making that decision. And finally, what he realized is the only thing stopping him from making the business decision was his fear of what people in his hometown would see. They would see the closed store, and it would equal failure to him. This was his flagship. This was his starting store. And if he had to close it, the outward appearance was one of failure, and it was paralyzing his ability to make the right decision. And so one of the things that we did as he was moving through this process is we actually practiced what he was going to say to people around that decision that he made.
That's brilliant.
And once we practiced that, boom, he made the decision, he closed the store, he's still an incredibly successful entrepreneur, and he looks back on that time and just says, what was I so hesitant about? But it really was getting at that deep-seated fear of what were other people going to think about a perceived failure, even though he knew in his mind it was absolutely the most successful decision that he could make for him and his business.
That is an amazing story. Yeah. And so true, whether it's something, you know, that scale, or it could be something in terms of even just what you wear to a party.
Exactly.
Right? In terms of what, you know, other people might say about something that you really want to put on, but you're worried about what someone else will think.
I'll give you a great example. I had my nails done the other day, which I don't often do. Came home, my husband says, I don't like that color of nail polish. And I turned to him and I said, well, it's a good thing you don't have to wear it.
Well, again, that's an excellent line that perhaps ladies listening as they're going to holiday parties can think about in case their spouse says something
like that to them. But again, it is preparing. We're going to take another break in a minute. But again, facing the fear, opening the door to whatever it is, the worst possible thing that can happen, preparing for the conversation to talk about this in a way where you take accountability, using I statements for this as opposed to blaming others, taking ownership for whatever piece of it that you have, and then practicing and what you're going to say about it and your experience about it, and putting your ego in check in terms of dealing with this. And this is, I think, these are the critical steps in terms of how we embrace failure intelligently.
Yes.
There's so much that we can use this to apply in every aspect.
Every situation.
Every situation, because it does come down to relationships and it comes down to communication. There is so much we could probably spend hours talking about, and I have to stop myself short. I'm really glad we have a commercial break, because I could tell you a lot of stories about more failures I've had that haven't been very intelligent. So stay with us. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. We'll be back for another segment in about 2 minutes for more of Your Authentic Life. So stay with us. We have Heather Clark here with us.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Susan Cranston is ready to be your communications consultant. Susan is a writer, speaker, and former marketing executive with over 2 decades of experience. Susan also teaches various workshops, including Perfect Health and Meditation, which helps to manage stress, reduce anxiety, release emotional toxicity, increase strength, and nourish the mind, body, and spirit. If you have a writing or social media plan or need a motivational speaker for your upcoming event, visit SusanCranston.com or call Susan at 226-989-7533.
You have the power within to achieve anything, be it wealth, balance in your life, getting over your fears and roadblocks, and creating a positive impact on the world. Let Darvi Mack show you how on the Powerful, Passionate, Prosperous Woman Show. Darvi will bring you the tools and tips that you need to make it all happen, with engaging guests and topics that will help you make your dreams come true. The Powerful, Passionate, Prosperous Woman Show is heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on Voice America Empowerment.
Work with Susan Cranston as your personal coach. Live your purpose and breathe life into the dreams you've kept hidden away for too long. Bring deeper fulfillment and contentment to each day. Learn ways to nourish your mind, body, and spirit connection. It's time to begin your journey today. Reach out to Susan today at 226-989-7533 or visit SusanCranston.com. Susan is a master life coach and an Ayurvedic lifestyle practitioner and meditation teacher who is certified with the Chopra Center University in California. Visit SusanCranston.com or call Susan at 226-989-7533.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Tuned into Your Authentic Life with Susan Cranston. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to authenticaconsulting@gmail.com. That's authenticaconsulting@gmail.com. Now, back to this week's edition of Your Authentic Life.
Hi, it's Susan Cranston here, the host of Your Authentic Life. I'm so glad you tuned in today. I'm here with my guest, Heather Clark. She's an executive coach, and we're talking about how to fail intelligently. This is such an interesting topic. It's one that I could explore for a long time, and Heather and I are talking about different situations in terms of how to address failure. A little anecdote I was just sharing with Heather on the commercial break. I remember a few years ago, actually, this is going back several years, I had Coca-Cola as one of my clients. Took them out for lunch. I had members of my team that were there. And generally, when you're working with a client that is in that type of an industry, you want to make sure that you are generally embracing the products that they sell and endorsing them in a healthy way, you know, authentically as you can. Well, one of my colleagues, as the waitress came around, when they asked what she wanted to have to drink, she requested Pepsi and blatantly declared that she hated Coca-Cola products, to which you could have heard a pin drop at the table. And I waited for her to, you know, take the moment to say, oops, or wow, something, but there was nothing. So there was really no acknowledgement at that point, to which then, you know, I created a situation to step up and sort of deal with that situation on her behalf. But it was, again, an opportunity where we could have taken a moment of, you know, failure in that sense of, you know, probably not engaging the client very right. effectively, even yeah. in this one, it might have been seen as downtime during this lunch, to be able to discuss the difference versus Pepsi and Coke, or how, you know, how we might have looked at it differently. So, Heather, I'm really interested in sort of this element of human nature yeah. and how you deal with it in a coach, where you might be dealing with someone who just has a lack of awareness, a self-awareness that will, doesn't see. There's a pattern of behavior where they will just not own up mm-hmm. to when their mistakes, their failures, or what's going on in their life. What do you say about that situation? Maybe it's not a Coke Pepsi thing, but maybe something else.
Well, you know, it's an interesting situation, an opportunity after the fact to kind of pull that person in and walk through the scenario with them and share with them what that looked like from your perspective, and helping them put themselves in the shoes of the Coke people, who is a big client of yours. So helping them make the connections to what happened and what they could do differently down the road. Ultimately, it's up to each individual to make the choice of whether they want to change. You know, and coaching is all about changing and growth. And one of the things I'm very clear on with my clients is it's them that has to do the work. It's them that has to step up. It's them that has to want to make some changes in their behavior and in their thinking. If we don't make changes in our behavior and our thinking, we're not going to change the way we behave. So a company can create all the great culture in the world that they want. Each individual has to bring their own stuff to that culture.
They do. And it's a situation where if they don't own it, if they don't own their piece of it, no matter how great the leader feels about embracing failure intelligently and has created yeah. this amazing culture, it's going to stop short for that individual. And Absolutely. What happens is this cycle of behavior where they're going to bump into this time mm-hmm. and time again. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As a coach, one of the things that I look for in the conversations with my clients is patterns of behavior, so that I can say to them, I don't know if you noticed this about yourself, but I've heard you say the same thing when you're in this situation, when you're in this situation, when you're in this situation. Have you noticed that pattern of behavior? And a lot of times, somebody won't. You know, you're in it. You're not noticing that this is a pattern of the way that you behave with people. And if you can deal with that one behavior, you can actually change the way that you work with a lot of different people, both at home and in the business setting.
That's so true. And sometimes it takes, you know, a few different kicks at the can in Absolutely. Order to make this happen. I do coaching for public speaking. Mm. And in many cases, I will, you know, ask the individual how they feel about being recorded. Because when they actually see themselves, and most people are horrified, they don't want to listen to themselves, whether it's in an audio recording or visually, because they don't want to see themselves for whatever. Again, it could be this whole fear thing, this fear of failure.
Well, speaking from experience, I have to share this. Susan videotaped me earlier today, and she asked me if I wanted to see it, and I said, no, you go ahead, and if you like it, I'm good with it. There is a fear of, you know, and for me, I am openly able to admit this, I like to be competent at what I do, and if I feel there's something I'm doing where I'm not competent, I don't want to see it. I don't want it in my face, right? It's really hard to get over that piece of ourselves. And we're all human, right? So it really is kind of connecting with that. I know that about myself. So I do things, I do public speaking, I do those things that terrify me. And hopefully each time I do it, I learn from it and I get better at it because I don't want it to stop me from having experiences that I want to have.
Absolutely. You could have a dream, but if you're so afraid to move forward of doing it, then you'll, again, stop yourself short.
I go back to my young entrepreneur. He has a dream of being a successful businessman. He could have paralyzed himself with fear of looking like a failure, and his business could have gone under, which it would have. Now that he faced that fear and he's moved on, he has a very successful business and has impacted his entire life.
So it's this sense of assumptions, assumptions mm-hmm. around expectations people have of us, the assumptions of what they'll think of us.
Yes.
And which might be completely inaccurate.
It might be.
And even if it's true,
doesn't matter.
You live your own life.
Exactly.
Right? No one else is stepping into your own in your shoes. You're the only, everyone else's life is taken.
Yeah.
You've only got yours to live. And again, you want to live that as authentically as you can, because when you are in touch with your inner self, when you're in touch with your soul, what drives you forward, you're going to have a much better go at this life.
It's so true, Susan. And you know, we live in a very judging society. Right from the time you're preschool, you're being judged against the kid next to you, against the kid that can ride their bike without the training wheels before you. You get into school, you're judged on grades. We are trained to be judged. And then all of a sudden we get to a certain point in our lives and we have to step back from that and really look at, hey, what's making me happy? What am I proud of? You know, when I look in the mirror, am I proud of the way that I'm behaving? And, you know, through exploring intelligent failure, it really is freeing. I'll give you an example. I attended and actually spoke at a fabulous conference in Toronto in the summer, put on by Fail Forward. A shout out to Ashley Good and her team that put on a great event. And the whole day was on intelligent failure. And as a facilitator, I got into a situation where they had two facilitators facilitating the same topic in the same room at different ends of a large room. It was horrifying. Find this out right first thing in the morning. And I had a colleague with me, which was helpful. And you know what? The fact that we were talking about failure opened us up to just being vulnerable and transparent with our team of people that attended our session to say, hey, this is what we're faced with. We had something planned. We can't do it exactly like we wanted to. So we're just going to roll with it and we appreciate your feedback as we go along. We got to one point where we wanted them to be spread out shouting answers. Of course, we couldn't because we would be disturbing the session that was at the other end of the hall. So we just put it out to the people there. What do you think we should do? And one guy came up with, hey, why don't we just come to tables if we think similarly and we'll do it this way. And we said, great, let's do that. We facilitated the whole thing. Did it go the way we planned? Absolutely not, because we were faced with a situation we could never have anticipated. And we certainly gave the organizers some good feedback after that. The response we got from our participants by being open and transparent and vulnerable in the moment was absolutely phenomenal. And it just freed us up to have a great experience with the people that we came to have a great experience with.
When you hold on to something, and it's in anything in life, whether it's this opportunity to facilitate or maybe you're working on a project or a relationship, when you hold on to it so tightly in terms of what you envision it needs to be, you can cripple yourself.
Absolutely.
And potentially lead yourself into a failure scenario.
Absolutely.
As opposed to reaching out in a moment. And this takes courage. It takes practice. Mm-hmm. It takes the self-reflection. It takes going to those places, staying open, vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and saying, hey, I'm not really sure where I'm at right now. I could use a little bit of help. I could use some input.
Yep.
Where are we at?
Yeah.
And then you have more fun. You enjoy the experience. You probably get, like you said, better feedback, better outcome.
And you're actually modeling in the moment what failure is doing. What's happening? How are we going to work through it? You're modeling the behavior in the moment. so that everybody else can learn something from it as well.
And they can breathe a little bit easier and be more themselves. And who doesn't want that? Whether you're attending a conference, you're in a meeting, or you're at somebody's Christmas party or Hanukkah party or whatever, wherever, yeah, you're, Kwanzaa party, and you're having an event that you just feel like it's okay to be exactly who you are, yeah, and even share stories. This is an idea I'll throw out. Maybe it's just an opportunity to invite people to go to a party and maybe say, share one thing that you've done, like I did, set your hand on fire.
One failure story.
But you have the best party ever.
Ever. Because it just frees people and opens them up to just understand that, you know what, we all fail.
So how can anyone, because I can't believe we're almost at an hour. This has been amazing, Heather. Thank you so much for being here. How can people, if they're going down this journey, let's say they don't have an opportunity to have a coach, how do they get access, start this journey? Are there books or resources online that they can read?
There's great resources. One of my favorite books, and you mentioned Nassau before, so I'll share this one. It's called The Thin Book of Naming Elephants, How to Surface Undiscussables for Greater Organizational Success. And it's by Sue Annis Hammond. And in it, she tells a lot of stories about companies. And one of them is the Nassau example of the Columbia disaster. And she shares the final report that concluded that Nassau's broken safety culture had as much to do with the accident as the foam, and that the nature of the numerous undiscussables at Nassau, the pressures of rigid hierarchy, and many unquestioned assumptions led to the fatal disaster. And it's a great book. I highly recommend it to all my leaders. There's all sorts of e-magazines like Forbes and Harvard Business Review and Fast Company and Stanford Business that if you just Google intelligent failure will come up. And actually on Ashley's website, failforward.org, I'll give her another shout out. She has some great resources. There's a resources page and I often use her resources. She's got tools and articles and information that are really fabulous on this topic.
Yeah, Fail Forward, what an interesting...
I love it.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm hoping they'll do another conference, but they actually have a consulting firm where they'll go into an organization and do a failure report for you, and help organizations to see how they can improve in that area.
So whether you're an organization or an individual, maybe you're a wannabe entrepreneur, or you're just someone who wants to learn more about this. I also say touch base with people that you admire and respect in your life. Maybe it's your grandma, maybe it's your parent, maybe it's an uncle, maybe it's a friend, and ask them.
Yeah.
For how they've approached failure and what they've done in this scenario. You'll probably have the most brave and interesting conversations that you've ever had in your life. And so, Heather, I want to thank you so much for being my guest on Your Authentic Life. And for all of you who are listening, thank you for creating space and for staying open to our conversation. I hope you'll stay open to the whole concept of failure and how you think about it, hopefully more intelligently, more authentically going forward. And until next time, remember to breathe and think kind thoughts about yourself, especially when you fail, because no other person is like you. Inside you is the exact combination of talent, strength, and desire necessary to breathe life into your best dreams. Thank you for tuning into Your Authentic Life. Have a fabulous day.
Thank you for enjoying this week's edition of Your Authentic Life. Please tune into the show again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Please join Susan Cranston for another peek at your authentic life.